Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm not really sure why they asked me to speak on the topic of guilt. I've never done anything wrong. But they did. Let's just take a second and let's take your life as it is right now, today. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being utter despair and 10 being blessed beyond anything that you can possibly think or imagine, how do you feel today? Loaded question. We can go off in a lot of different tangents. Or are you asking me about my job? Are you asking me about my family? Are you asking me about my situation at work? Are you asking me about my faith? What is it that you're asking me about? It's a loaded question. How do you feel today? Now, as you look at your study guide and the notes in front of you, as we're talking about guilt, we understand that guilt is a feeling. It's something that we have. We feel guilty in truth because we are guilty by God's standard. By the standard of His law, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God and are guilty. Amen? Now, my feelings told me today that you would be much better served by somebody else standing up here. I got out of bed this morning and I felt this feeling go, you know what, you're ridiculous. These guys aren't going to listen to you. They don't care about you. They don't want to hear from you. Who are you? Who do you think you are to get up and stand in front of a bunch of guys and tell them about guilt? I'm guilty. That's who I am. The truth is that today is an appointment for all of us. Since before the beginning of time, today was going to happen and God knew who you were going to be, where you were going to be, and what you were going to be doing. And He knew exactly what you were going to choose about today. Now, this topic of guilt is at hand today because, truthfully, it's not about guilt, it's about the root. The question is, will we follow our feelings or will we seek the facts and the truth about who we are and where we are? We've been taught to follow our hearts, our gut instinct, as some like to call it. Now, I read something the other day and I thought, this is great, I'll try to put it into my own words. And truthfully, sometimes you let the masters just do what they do. So I'm going to read this to you. It's from Max Lucado and it's from On the Anvil. You lose your temper. You lust. You fall. You take a drag. You buy a drink. You kiss the woman. You follow the crowd. You rationalize. You say yes. You sign your name. You forget who you are. You walk into her room. You look in the window. You break your promise. You buy the magazine. You lie. You covet. You stomp your feet and demand your way. You deny your master. It's David disrobing Bathsheba. It's Adam accepting the fruit from Eve. It's Abraham lying about Sarah. It's Peter denying that he ever knew Jesus. It's Noah, drunk and naked in his tent. It's Lot in bed with his own daughter. It's your worst nightmare. It's sudden. It's sin. Satan numbs our awareness and short circuits our self-control. We know what we're doing, and yet we can't believe that we're doing it. The fog of weakness we want to stop, but haven't the will to do so. We want to turn around, but our feet won't move. We want to run, and pitifully, we want to stay. Confusion, guilt, rationalization, despair, It all hits. It hits hard. We numbly pick ourselves up and stagger back into our world. Oh God, what have I done? Should I tell someone? I'll never do it again. My God, can you forgive me? Now, no one who is hearing these words are free from the treachery of sudden sin. No one is immune to this prick of perdition. This demon of hell can scale the highest monastery wall, penetrate the deepest faith, and desecrate the purest home. Some of you know exactly what I mean. You could write these words better than I. You could give this talk better than I. Couldn't you? Some of you, like me, have tumbled so often that the stench of Satan's breath is far from a novelty. You've asked for God's forgiveness so often that you worry that the well of mercy just might run dry. Romans chapter 7 is the emancipation proclamation for those of us who have a tendency to tumble. Look at verse 15. I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Sound familiar? Read on, verse 18 and 19. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Sounds like Paul's been reading my mind, possibly taking a peek at your heart as well. What a wretched man am I! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Verse 24. Please, Paul, whatever you do, don't stop there. Is there no oasis in this barrenness of guilt? There is. Thank God and drink deeply as you read verse 25 and verse 1 of chapter 8. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. There it is. You heard it right. Underline it if you wish. For those in Christ, there is no condemnation. Absolutely none. Claim the promise. Memorize the words. Accept the cleansing, throw out the guilt, praise the Lord. Again, words of Max Lucado, not my own. We've got an issue with our hearts. You know, I sat and I thought about, I read this verse one time, somebody handed it to me, I'll never forget it. Just literally handed me this verse after I made a comment about who I was and what I believed. And it was Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Oh, come on, God. Really? I mean, I'm a decent guy. I go to church. I got a family. I got people who love me, you know. I've been asked to speak at Huddle. What? You know, I mean, come on. Am I really that bad? Am I really that disgusting? Yeah, I am. Deep down we know the truth. But the truth is, all the while, we continue trying to polish the turd. You know what I mean. Come on. You got the face on Sunday morning. All right, how you doing? I'm fine. You fine? I'm fine. You good? I'm good. Slap, slap, slap. Hug, hug, hug. Yeah, it's all fine. We're good. But living by my heart or by my feelings generally renders me weak, fearful, angry, and prideful. Because like I woke up this morning and I started thinking and feeling. But those thoughts and feelings were outside of God's Word. They were little whispers that I was hearing this morning from the enemy. But I started to follow my heart. I started to give it life. You know, my heart began to race as I started to pick out the clothes that I was going to wear today And I started to listen to that voice, and I started to hear, you know what, you might be right. This could end up really bad. You know, what if I do stumble? What if I can't talk? What if I get up here and I can't read? What if? I start to follow my heart. But see, I thought that's what we were supposed to do. Weren't we taught as young men and little kids that we're literally supposed to seek our heart and our gut and rely on our instinct? And remember Dad telling you that? Well, what are we supposed to do, Dad? Well, just do what you think is right. I'm here today to tell you that that's got me in some deep doo-doo. Doing what I thought was right. But the question is, are we going to seek the truth? Are we going to seek fact over feeling? That's our real question. That's what's at the crux of today. What is the fact about who we are? Is it something that we make up about ourselves? Is it something that's written in the newspaper about us? Is it something that a friend says behind our back? Or is it literally the words that God has penned? We can make up all kinds of stuff about other people, and trust me, I'm sure that every man in this room has made something up or said something about someone else who in the end they realized wasn't actually the truth. But at the time, it's the way they felt, right? No? Nobody's ever done that. Okay, I'm the only one. Thank you very much. Okay. Just wanted to know which crowd I was in. Here's what God says in the Message, 1 John 3:18-20. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. Do you ever give God that credit? Knowing more about you than you know about yourself? I don't know about you guys. Not too long ago, we did a study on the man in the mirror. I found it really difficult during that study to hold up that book and look the man in the mirror and try to get the two on the same page. It wasn't until I really started digging into the Word and looking at what God said about me, not what somebody else thinks about me or not what somebody else sees when they look at me and not what I look at when I look back at myself in the mirror. I had to ask God, literally ask Him, is this the way you really feel about me? Because I have a hard time feeling that way about myself. I have to tell you, there was a resounding yes. And it came through the hands of a child. A little girl in church walked up. She just said, I really want you to know that we appreciate you and we love you. And this is how we see you. And it was the next day. So I give God the credit. That wasn't about me. That was God speaking to me through the heart of a child. And letting me know that I am His child. And letting me know that He does care about me. And just like you, I've done a bunch of stuff that I'm not proud of. The truth is that God built us, He designed us, and He's given us a purpose. And that purpose is to simply glorify Him. It's not about us. Never has been, never will be. Our enemy uses our feelings and our emotions or our hearts against us on a daily basis, to lure us from the truth. That's all He wants us to do, is to look away from the truth and make an opinion about ourselves outside of who God says we are. Your feelings, they're real. You feel them. You feel pain. You feel anger. You feel resentment. You feel those things. But I'm here to tell you today, and this might be a stark contrast from your reality, but your feelings, as real as they are not necessarily truth. They could be trickery. They could be get this, they could be the nudging of the Holy Spirit because you are standing outside of God's will in some area of your life. And He may be saying, hey, just take a look at this. I want you to see this and simply just go and ask for forgiveness. The other side is it could be the enemy trying to trip you up. The truth is that your Savior paid for your sin. That's the truth at the end of the day. Fact over feeling. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Feeling or fact? That was a question. I'm going to get off the topic just for a second because I want to give you an analogy of what I'm talking about the difference between our feelings and facts. My wife and I were visiting the Smoky Mountains, and we were in one of these little shops. We were perusing. That's what men do instead of shopping with our wives. We peruse. We look. We don't shop, obviously. We go in. We buy, right? We don't shop, but we were perusing. We were looking. We happened to run across this little shanty, and we walked in, and it was just beautiful mountain pictures all over the place. And the guy was a photographer, and most of these pictures, a lot of them were taken right there in the Smokies, but a lot of them were also taken out in the Rockies. As I was looking at the pictures, I realized not all of them were theirs. And right smack dab in the middle of this place, there was this giant picture blown up on the wall, and it was a big blob. And I'm going, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. You know, he's got all these beautiful, wonderful pictures here in the background, and that one stinks. And I was telling Melissa, I was like, why on earth would anybody hang something like this in their shop? If that's, lo and behold, the photographer standing 2 feet behind me. And he goes, would you like to hear the story about that picture? And I'm like, well, okay. What are you going to say at that point? No. Let's turn around and walk away. No. Yeah, sure. Okay. He said, my wife and I were in the Rockies, and we were way up there. He said, matter of fact, the two pictures that are to the right and to the left, we had taken just moments before this picture was taken. I'm like, okay. And he said, we're standing there, and the next thing we know, a 1,200-pound grizzly bear bumbles out onto the trail right in front of us, less than 12 feet from us. I'm like, yeah, 12 feet, whatever. I know how these stories are. They're kind of like fish stories, you know, 12 feet. He's probably 120 feet away. And I'm kind of thinking, I got some disbelief on my face. He's looking at me. He said, you see the picture to the left? I said, yeah. He said, you see the picture to the right? I said, yeah. He said, same camera, same focus. We had set up to take pictures at 12 feet. So the picture of the bear that you see is well within 12 feet of us. He said, I could feel his breath. When he grunted, it went directly through me. Now, when he came out onto the path, first feeling that I had was run. The very next thing that happened is I believe God spoke to me, and He said, freeze. Don't move a muscle. So my wife was behind me, and she was trying to run, and I just grabbed a hold of her and held her tight. He says, I stood, I prayed. I said, Lord, I hope you're right. I'm just going to stand on what you've told me. I'm not going to move. The bear grunted one more time, went down the trail. And I tell you that because had he run, and he'd have followed his feelings, he'd have been lunch. And he would not have listened to what God had told him. I don't know where you're at in the process of feeling guilt or anger or whatever emotion that it might be that's running through you today because of whatever issue that you've got. But know at the end of the day, the only thing that we truly have to stand on is the Word of God. And if He speaks to you, hold that near and dear to your heart. And I trust that you will know when He speaks to you. And if and when He speaks to you, Listen. Listen well and simply follow what He tells you to do and forget every other feeling and emotion. Because fact is what's going to matter at the end, not how you feel about that fact. If God has asked you to do something in your life, I'm sure you felt uneasy about it, just as I stand here feeling very uneasy speaking to you today. But I know He asked me to be here. So I'll take the fact that He's got something to share and He wants to speak to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for the discussion that may happen today. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is a fact. We thank You that it is a lamp unto our feet, that You will move us when You ask us to move. You will stop us when You ask us to stop. Help us to listen today, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen.